What is up, everybody? This is Marshall from Limited Resources, and you are listening to Seven Land Hand.
It's Seven Land Hand!
Woo-hoo! Brought to you by Good Games Cannington.
Now in Cannington.
Attack of the Clones. But unlike Jango and Boba, Sarkin's only been knocking them out for a month. And what a month! When Wizards asked us if we could live with dragons, I said, sure, I've been married for over 10 years. But that's not what they meant, listener. We've been drag queening, drag racing, and dragoning, all in an effort to make this the second best DTK How-To podcast of 2015.
What's the best one?
I don't know, but we can't.
The
can't,
next one.
Yeah, let's be real. We're the second best one.
Yeah, the second. We're bound to be. We can't be anywhere near the top, even though second is right next to the top. To fire a steel arrow into the podcast's soft underbelly, today I'm joined by the smorgish Rob Grimsey.
How are we join?
Oh, I thought you said, how are you join? Hey,
how
are you doing? Top of the day to you,
Rob. How are you joined?
Welcome to the podcast, Rob. And speaking of hobbits, fresh back from Middle-earth, it's Aaron Graham.
How are you joined, David? Doing very well today.
Oh, fancy you finding your way back into the pod.
Yeah, I swam, actually.
You swam?
Yeah.
How did that work? Yeah, well,
I'm very thin. I did not eat much.
I thought you just oiled yourself down.
Yeah.
It's water.
I'm constantly this oily.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, what nerd-riddled activities have you been up to of late?
Well, we just finished up game day. Dragons of Tarkir game day. Big... Yep. Showcase all day long, standard format, new Dragons of Tarkir stuff.
Yeah, new champion.
He's been a
Game Day champion before.
Game Day champion, Anthony Lee.
Yeah, first event he's won, I think.
I think this is the first event he's won. Pro Tour competitor, Anthony Lee. He must have won something to get there. Yeah. He may have defeated both of us in succession, actually, me and Rob in the last PTQ. Beat me in the semis, beat Rob in the final, went to go play in the Pro Tour. He might have won that one.
That's right. I knew I recognized
him from somewhere.
It's pretty much a curse being on this pod. It pretty much means you're never going to win a tournament ever again. Is that pretty much correct?
It's close.
Yeah, I think that's how. And that's
a good
excuse.
Close seconds, though.
Yeah. So have you anything personally nerdy this week?
This week, playing a lot of Diablo 3 in my post New Zealand haze.
New season.
Diablo 3 video game is just started new seasons, kind of like standard in Magic. It gives you a reason to restart new characters rather than playing old ones over and over again.
Okay.
And so I got a character to like level 70 in 2 days or something. I played a lot.
Lot of Diablo. If you don't know, 2 days is a lot. Yeah. He's played a lot of Diablo.
Level 70 in 2 days. I would say
almost 2 days worth of solid Diablo. it's about average.
Sonny says he's been playing for 2 days. He's been playing it for 48 hours.
It was 18 out of the 48 hours.
Yeah. Riley and I jumped into, board game Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Jumped into a bit, tried to. Dying Light, we've been playing
Dying Light,
the crap out of that. Zombie adventure.
Zombie game.
Yeah, on the X-Bone.
The X-Bone.
Are you guys playing two player co-op, or are we talking?
Well, we were trying to.
Is one of you a zombie?
The X-Bone's network was not allowing chat today.
Oh,
so we were just running around, waving at each other, going, "Why are you going that way?"
But we found out you
carry a torch on your shoulder. So we just started doing Morse code because we're nerds. With torch on, torch off.
Do you both know Morse code?
Yeah, we know.
Maybe. Close enough.
Yeah. And we had our phones in front of us so we could just
message as well.
So, filled in the gaps.
And before Skype existed, they used to call people and chat to them while we played Halo on them.
Oh, it used to get expensive as well. Yeah, I remember that. You used to start running up your phone bill. Yeah. Oh, man, back in the day.
Back in the day when I had prepaid and I was like, I can do about $20 of calls before buying more stuff with the $20 note I get paid from my part-time job this week. Better call someone and talk to them about Halo that we're playing with each other.
You'd be freaking the kids out roundabout now because they'd be
all these phones. Yeah.
Imagine the people talking on Xbox, though, when you play, actually calling you up. Imagine if that's back in the day. Someone calls you up. You suck. You're the worst. You're terrible.
I fucked your mum.
And you go,
after you take the headset off and unplug all that, sometimes the party chat stays on, but it comes through the Kinect and the TV speakers.
Oh,
so you get on with your life, and then someone goes, I'm still here. I'm still here.
What are you doing? Doesn't the Kinect have a camera on it? Are they just watching you?
It does have a camera, but...
as you get naked,
it's just the sound. If you slag them off and the mum and that sort of stuff...
They'll stick around and watch you on the camera.
Can go over pretty bad. Mm. Anyway, we might as well bust the booster.
Yeah!
Let's do it. Let's pop blub! Bust the booster!
I've kind of missed doing that. That was a hi-hat sound. Yeah, good one.
got more equipment since the last time, man. Yeah.
There's a lot riding on this Buster Booster, isn't there?
There is.
Yeah. We have a bit of a wager.
I traded David some cards for his Fairy Forge collection. Traded them to him.
Tokens.
Yep. Tokens, yep. And they were expensive tokens, though.
They were.
One was a Sorin emblem. And he said, what do you want for it? And I said, whatever rare we pull out of the Buster Booster today, so it better be freaking good.
Yeah. Rolling the dice on this one. It could be anything. It could be a boat.
Okay.
It could be anything at all.
All right, so the token and the land has been removed.
Good.
Just in case, because I get to keep the foils.
You get to keep the foils, yeah. I just get the rare.
All right, fellas. This is a Dragons of Tarkir booster, and we're opening with Mind Rot. Two and a swamp for a sorcery. Target player discards two cards. Tell us about how that one's been rocking at this last few months.
I sideboard it in when I'm playing black against decks that have lots of stuff they're ramping into. So it's usually they go ramp spell, play some garbage creatures so that they can hit their dragons and stuff at the top of the curve, and then you board in mind rots against people that are really going all in on casting some huge dragon.
So it costs three, so you're going to be playing it later anyway, but do you want to be playing it after?
You want them to have two cards in their hand.
So you've got two ways to play mind rot. So either you can wait till they have two, ideally, exactly two, fire off, get their two best cards. But the reality is it doesn't happen all the time. So sometimes it can be even good. Just turn three, you have three mana, you don't have a play, you just immediately fire off Mind Rot, and then they have to make a decision if they're going to keep their extra lands in hand or keep their threats or ditch their lands, hope they draw more lands and get
lands
screwed.
So you can weirdly mana screw them. Yeah. And it is technically card advantage because you're spending one card to get two of theirs. But if it's like a bad card and a land, it doesn't affect them that much, and so it's the worst kind of card advantage. But the later the game goes, the better Mind Rot's going to be. But then sometimes you top deck it when you're both trying to top deck a way to win, and you're like, cool.
Yep, you look at your opponent, you got cards in hand, they say none, you look terrible. you're like, pass the turn.
Yeah, cool.
and it's sorcery speed, so they're not even going to draw a card. Their face lights up with, I'm about to win. You go instantly discard that. You've got to wait.
They don't like doing that because I think that's a real... It's kind of like land destruction. It's a real feel-bad thing. They're like, cool, I get to play this. Discard the card.
Polygon's Command, though, this set, they brought back instant speed discard.
There is a small amount of instant speed discard at rare in this set.
There's still plenty of that in the game, though, isn't it? It's like, I'm about to cast... I attack you with this guy. I'm about to cast this spell. No, you're not.
Yeah, it's like Mardu Charm, which I played for a bit at the start of the Khan's standard format, and you could look at their hand and take anything out of it at instant speed. So, like, a Thoughtseize...
It's
Duress, yeah. Otherwise, sorry, you can't get creatures. Yeah, that'd be real good. But yeah, they go, you like draw step, and you're like, oh, people don't usually say draw step and do stuff. But then you get their whatever that they got, their Elspeth or something.
So that's low in the, that's going to be low.
It's
in the
a
pick.
Sideboard card.
Kindle Fury, one mountain for an instant. Target creature gets +1/+0 and gains first strike until end of turn. Kindle Fury, fellas.
This one's like kind of a very average trick. I mean, it only works if your creature is essentially going to be almost trading with theirs anyway, so you can just buff it to give it the +1 first strike to try and take out like normally aggressive combat tricks. But I mean, there's so many other tricks in this format. So, I mean, it's a trick that if you have no tricks and effectively no removal playing an aggressive deck, you can pick it up and run it. But
it's kind of bad in the stalled board state though, because it doesn't cost much, so it doesn't matter when it comes out in the game which turn it comes out. And if you're stalled because you've got two guys, you don't want, you know, you've got a guy, they've got a guy, neither of you want to lose them, you chuck that on there.
Yeah, but I mean, you could, instead of drawing that, like if you're a board stalled, you could draw another creature instead of this and then play that creature and then you're ahead on board as well.
So it's more the spot that it takes up that's
like it does its best with high power, low toughness creatures, which there's a few of in this set. So you attack with your 5/1, which is one of the Megamorphs in the set, and they block with their X3, and then you can get this through. But like, regardless of how cheap it is, it's always a liability to be playing tricks like this, because it's just like, you go target my creature for 1 mana, and they're like, kill it for 2 mana.
Yeah, and especially if you're trying to do it. Like Aaron said, the best is high power, low toughness guys to target your own guys to use this to buff them. But the problem is, those are the guys also that die the easiest in response. It just opens itself.
Yeah, they're like 2 damage to it. You're like, this doesn't increase its toughness at all. Like, it's,
not good. It's liability.
We're not excited about that. Updraft Elemental. Updraft.
What is it?
What's Updraft?
What's Updraft?
Yeah.
Draft. No. Updraft Elemental? Updraft.
What did I say? Yeah. Updraft?
Updraft.
Yeah, Updraft.
What's Updraft?
Draft. Yeah, I would be saying draft, I think. That's how it usually comes out of me. Anyway.
Gross.
Up. Yeah, that's my updraft. No.
What's up draft?
Elemental. Is a two and an island for creature elemental with flying. A 1/4 with flying. Is a 1/4 with flying.
I like this guy. I like him. He defends the shit out of me while I try and exploit a bunch of blue and black creatures. I block things with flying. I block things on the ground. And he just keeps me alive until I exploit him.
If we can exploit him, I just, right. Early in the set, the cut to Tarkir set, anything with evasion was really valuable. Is that still the case now? Like, so a one fly that can chip away and is hard to kill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, know? It's... I like it defensively more than I like it to get two or three points of damage in. It's not blocking dragons or anything, so you're only going to get those points of damage in the first 4, 5, 6 turns.
Well, he's a 3 cost, isn't he? So
yeah,
how long before the dragons are hitting
him? Yeah, you attack on turn 4.
You really want this one. If you're going to be playing the sweet blue-black exploit deck, you want to be taking this guy as your 3 drop and just using it to buy time. So it's not really... You don't really want to be using it as aggressive. It's just a 1/4 wall, effectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you play it, it buys you time, blocks the early guys. Once their board gets too big to attack through this guy, then exactly like Aaron said, you play one of your guys, you exploit this guy off, sacrifice it to get more value when it's not useful on the board.
So. Yeah. These guys, I think we hurt their feelings, don't we? You know, imagine that, rocking up to the war, the battle.
Yeah.
You go, right, well, what am I going to do?
I've summoned you.
Where are my soldiers that I'm going to be in charge of? It's, no, you're just the wall.
You just wait over there for someone else to come and exploit.
Just wait.
Wait
there for a minute. What am I waiting for? Some stuff that will come along later.
It's going to be fine. Don't
worry about
it. Seems like all the damage is coming through this way, though.
Can you just stop some of that damage coming to me? Yeah, I'll get in there as long as I can, attack. Nah. Hang back. Just take it for a little while.
Updrafter Elemental can be proud in knowing that it's the best card so far in this pack.
So far, yeah. Out of the 3 cards.
Let's see if a Tarka Beast Breaker can do anything
much
about
better.
That.
Goodbye.
One in a forest for a 2/2. He's got formidable 4 in a forest, a Tarka Breastbreaker. So formidable 4 in a forest for a Tarka Breastbreaker. He gets 4/+4/+4. Until the end of turn, activate this ability if creatures are in control of them at home. Formidable.
Right, the breast peaker. Let's see it.
Right. The breast beaker. Does he have breasts?
It's got to be a breast peaker.
Breast peaker.
Check
him out.
You
couldn't see me. I just did a peeping Tom hand motion. Yeah.
Beast Breaker. It almost sounds like
This guy is insane, basically.
It's
really good. Yeah. It's a 2/2 for 2 early, which is fine. That's good. What you want to be playing. You play 2/2 for 2 anyway if you need to.
Remember how much I love Traveling Philosopher, David?
Yeah.
Traveling Philosopher was in the best color in the set. And this is in one of the not-so-good colors. But he's got the insane upside of if you draw him late, you just put some mana into him, and he's the biggest thing on the board.
It's huge. It's a 2-drop that becomes a 6/6 late game. It's great. And Formidable in this format is really easy to trigger. I mean, you'll see it all the time. Like, it just stalls out. You get big board stalls. You're easily going to get 8
And then you can attack for 6 with your 2-cost creature, which is pretty great.
Well, 2 costs that you've just put 5 into.
Put 5 mana into, but if you're both stalled and... if they kill in response, it doesn't matter that much because you didn't spend a card to make him bigger.
Do you get that sort of thing in this format? You have 5 mana lying around and you go, I might as well just throw it in my 2/2?
We're just talking about the late game, really late game.
Yeah.
Usually even just the threat of doing it. So say they tap out for a 5-5, you can just attack with this because they can't really attack into it. And if they do attack into it, you know that they have a trick.
Yeah.
The threat of activation. So when you attack with it, they can't block with a 5/5 because you'll just go over the top.
A 2/2 for 2 is always good.
Mm-hmm. The way to look at it is, if you draw on turn 2, it's good, which is great. If you draw it on sort of turn 9, it's good as well, which is... Mm-hmm.
Which is what you want.
Cards, yeah.
In a Magic the Gathering card.
Guardian Shield Bearer, 1 in a forest. Same price as the Tarka Breast Beaker. He's a human soldier. So he's 2/2/1, and you can Megamorph him for 4. Three in a forest.
Oh, this is one I couldn't remember the name of earlier.
Guardian Shield Bearer is turned to face up, put a +1/+1 counter on another target creature you control. So you Megamorph him and somebody else, kind of.
This is an interesting one.
But he's only a 2/1 for 2, so he's a little bit softer.
There's a little more 1 damage effects in this set than there were in Fate and Khans.
Yeah.
And this guy I just don't like as much as Beastbreaker because he doesn't do as much when you put all that mana in him. You pay 3 to... you pay 2 on turn 2 and he's a 2/1. That's fine. You'll do some damage with him. Maybe you'll block him morph or something. If you put him face down, Next turn, you have to pay all of your mana when you play your fourth land just to make a 3-2 and make one of your things one...
stronger.
One power and toughness bigger.
And
like,
it's only
going to
be a little shitty guy anyway, because that's who's going to be out of the time.
Because it's turn four, yeah. It's a dream curve with a target Beastbreaker, and they've got some X1 out, but it's just...
What's a late game like, Rob?
This one's just not amazing. It's like, it's okay, but it's just one of the weakest Megamorphs. I mean, the 2-1, there's like Twin Bolt in this format, which is a red removal spell that just does two damage split as you want, so one to two different things. So you don't really want to be playing little 2-1s floating around, if you can avoid it, especially one that is not too valuable. So this is like, it's a filler card. It's not great, though.
Okay. Ataka Ifrit, 3 and a mountain.
Another thing that can kill that previous card. Yeah.
Shaman. He's a 5-1 with Megamorph for 2 and a mountain. And when Ataka Ifrit is turned face up, it deals 1 damage to target creature or player.
Yeah, so this guy just destroyed me in a draft game the other day. The guy played a Morph. On my turn, I tapped out for Zephyr Scribe, which is a blue guy that you can... Next card?
No, mime that, but no, it's not.
You can draw and discard cards by paying blue and tapping him. And so he's one of the best reasons to be blue in this format, because at common, you've just got a way to filter through your shitty cards that you draw off the top in the late game.
Right.
And so he paid 3 for a Morph. I paid 3 for my Zephyr Scribe. I'm like, cool, feeling pretty good here. He just pays 3 mana, flips up his Ataka Ifrit with Megamorph, so it's a 6-2 now, deals 1 damage to my guy and hits me for 6? And I was like, I hadn't played against this card before, and it was dirty. Dirty.
These are always the type of ones you hope that they're not happy when they attack you on turn 4. So they play their turn 3 Morph and they attack, and you're always thinking, do I block, do I not block? This is what you don't want it to be when you say no blocks.
Yeah,
you
know, they're like, cool, flip it up, take 6. Oh.
Yeah, that's what you don't want to see.
So what is he like in the curve? 4 mana? Is he going to work in a red deck?
You don't really want to play it for 4 mana because it's a 5-1. So if they know that it's immediately a 5-1 on board, it's really easy to move. But if you play it face down,
you're megamorphing it. Yeah.
Exactly. And not even the fact that it's like megamorph, so it's bigger, but they don't know what it is. So you can attack with it. You can potentially get them to block more threatening creatures while this morph gets through for 2 damage, theoretically. And then you just flip it up, make it enormous, make them take 6.
Yeah, the like situations in which you'll play it as a 4 mana, 5-1 of few and far between. Narrow, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Flatten, 3 and a swamp for an instant. Target creature gets -4/-4 until end of turn.
I like that with different limited formats, they just make this effect cost all sorts of different mana costs.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the first limited formats I played a heap of was Scars of Mirrodin. This exact effect was called Grasp of Darkness, and it cost black. So for 2 mana, you did the same thing.
Right.
And then... Lash of the Whip and Theros and Throttle in Karns.
Yeah.
Like in the same block, you've got the exact same effect. But in this one, I think they've brought the price down so that you can kill a dragon pretty effectively.
Most of the dragons are 4 tough, 6 power, 4 toughness.
Mostly 4 fours.
It's like the standard dragon. Some of the big ones, like Ataka, are 6/4.
That's
like
what I was thinking of, yeah. All right.
But this is the best card in the pack so far. It's it can kill pretty much everything. That's pretty much it. It's versatile.
Yeah.
When I say versatile, I mean it kills things. But
I mean, you need removal. Like, it's just great. It kills most things. Doesn't kill their huge bombs usually, but kills basically.
It's going to be one of the best kill spells in your deck. Yeah. Common as well. It's great.
Elusive Spellfist is 1 and an island for a creature who's a human monk. He's a 1/3. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, Elusive Spellfist gets +1/+0 until end of turn and can't be blocked this turn.
What do you think of this guy?
This is a card that I really want to be good.
Yeah.
I really want this to be good. I mean, it fits in like a sort of a blue control-y tempo deck. You can play it like blue-black, blue-white. I actually drafted one online where I got 3 Elusive Spellfists, 2 of the Skywise Teachings, and then just basically all control otherwise.
Goodness,
it was like all removal draws cards. It was pretty interesting. I mean, I lost. I did lose in the finals of that one.
Oh, in the finals?
Yeah, I got through it, yeah.
Skywise Teachings is an interesting one. I haven't drafted it yet.
Yeah, it's not good, honestly. But I just happened to have mono removal, and I just picked those up late. So I was like,
well, what colors are you?
Blue-black.
Blue-black, sweet. Yeah. This guy will peck away for a bunch of damage, but he's not really aggressive. He's not really defensive. He's just a 1/3.
That's what worries me about he can't be blocked, but he's never going to be, he's never going to be one of those guys where, oh shit, I can't block the Elusive Spellfist. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to have to take 2.
There was a card many years ago called Kiln Fiend, and it was every time you played an instant or sorcery, it got +3/+0. And so you could go off. You could like save all instants and sorceries and then like give it unblockable and then like play 3 other spells.
Oh, that would stack up.
That would stack up.
Already started 2-1 as well. So they attack in, and they've got 2 mana up. You don't block it. They cast 2 things. You just take a huge amount.
Yeah, you take like 7 or something.
Yeah.
So that was like a combo deck. This doesn't give you enough payoff for putting all the spells and stuff into it. But yeah, it's fine.
It's not, I mean, it's okay. In a blue defensive deck, it's good. It's a 1-3 for 2, which is good on curve. Blocks all the 2-1s and 2-2s for 2, which is okay. I mean, it's not amazing, but you play it as a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
It's Holes Attacker, right? Beast Breaker.
Oh, yeah. until he gets
the fifth turn.
All right. Herald of Dromica. 1 and a Plains. Stuff. First white card. Human Warrior 2-2. So it's 2 for a 2-2. He's got Vigilance. Other warrior creatures you control have Vigilance. Oh, we've gone Tribal Warrior.
Yeah, there's not... the warriors actually spread over different colours in this one. We have green warriors as opposed to the black-white one that
and
we saw in
And there's a warrior
cards.
Generating...
card as well, Secure the Wastes at rare. This guy, similar to Ataka Beastbreaker, versatile 2-drop. You can attack with it in the first few turns, and you've always got the option of being able to block with it. So it's just, I don't mind it. It's better than Traveling Philosopher, and I like Traveling Philosopher.
Jeez.
Vigilance is actually surprisingly good in format with Morph and Manifest, because it means you can basically play this guy on 2 when they play their Morph on 3. You can attack into their Morph and then see if it's any good. If they don't want to trade, then you can still be able to like block on trade. Really, really good on a board where people are playing Morph. So you play this turn 2, they Morph. You can attack into it and hold this to block, and they trade on the Morph. So, it's quite good.
Wow, that's a Grimsy insight there.
I hadn't thought about it like that. That's really interesting.
It's very good. Into the Uncommons, Press the Advantage. Press 2 the advantage. And 2 Forests for a Dreadful Pitcher.
It's the art of shit.
Press the Advantage is an instant. Up to 2 target creatures get +2/+2 and gain Trample until the end of turn.
This is like the Japanese-esque style art. Yeah, I really like this one, actually.
You like this one?
Yeah. I think
the art style just looks real different to the rest of them.
Yeah,
which
it does.
Super
I can just
realistic.
Imagine it's like one of those days, just like, you know, bringing your kid to work day, and they brought somebody in, and he's like, Dad, I'll help you do the face on this thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're going to use it, right, Dad? You're going to use it. It's like, put it in.
I did go to your baseball game this week, but I'll put your face that you drew on the Magic the Gathering card.
No one will notice.
It's fine. Is that his eyes or his nose? Okay.
Both.
It's like, is the card going to playable? No, okay, that's
no,
fine.
Good,
put up whatever picture you want on it.
So you pump spell. Expensive. +2/+2.
It's expensive.
2 target creatures.
It can be extremely powerful in very specific situations.
Oh, we don't like that though, do
where
we?
Where you are attacking with 2 creatures and they block with 2 creatures that are both going to trade. So you're attacking with 2 3-3s and they attack with block with 2 3-3s and then you're like, press the advantage! And you trample over for 4 and they're blown out and they're like,
But then as you're saying, press the advantage, you're probably also thinking, fuck, I'm spending 4 mana here, which I was about to spend on this other card that's in my hand.
And it's not great on defense because then they have mana open while they're attacking and can kill any
of you could
guys.
Like press the advantage there to attackers and then channel harm. Kill the
oh my god! The 10 mana combo. Thank god. If you think of this as pressing the advantage, which means that you have to be ahead already.
Yes.
It's not great.
So right. Like we're talking about, like when you're drawing the cards to evaluate them, it's like if you draw this early when you've got nothing, it's not good. And if you draw it late and you don't have a board state, so it's like an even game, we're really tight, the board's sort of clear, we draw this card off the top, it's terrible.
It helps break, it's a good board store breaker, but it's got, again, such liability.
Oh, well, artist,
for 4 mana.
Artist Marco Nilor has just been followed up by Raymond Swanland. So he's copying it in the neck now.
You should message him, ask him to do a signature. Send him an email. Send him it on your podcast. You should have a listen.
We break the shit out of you on our podcast. You want to listen to it?
Yeah, send us a signature, mate.
Warbringer by Raymond Swanland totally redeems the set as far as art's concerned. 3 and a mountain for an orc berserker who's a 3-3. And you can dash. You can dash him. But dash costs you pay cost 2 less, and you can dash him for 3. So you can drop a 3-3 in for 3, make him disappear.
Yeah, he is.
And he's got a sick picture.
He is insane. Actually, he's. I've heard whispers. Yeah. I've heard whispers. Of the black red dash deck, where you just get this guy out, and then you unload 4 dash creatures from your hand every turn, and never attack with this guy. it sounds really scary, but this is the uncommon that you have to be building that deck around. It doesn't work without
How many times can you dash cards before it just becomes a complete waste of mana?
You're always getting around sorcery speed removal, of which there's a bit in this set. And they always have haste. So, like, if you're thinking of paying a little more mana each turn for a few turns. Like Dash just won the Pro Tour because it can't get dealt with by sorcery removal. Mm. That's in Constructed, so it's a bit different. But haste is much more important in Limited than.
But you're not building up a board state. So if they are, eventually you're just going to have that 3-3 who's just looking at a handful of dragons and just thinking, well, I'm not really going to do anything.
Yeah, like
them.
The Dash, like you want to chuck this guy out as whenever you can, red green aggro, black red aggro, and then have one big dash turn where you've got a few dash creatures. But like I haven't drafted the deck yet, I can't really speak, but that's
It's doing well.
Even if like you can hold this guy in hand as well, like if you're concerned about sorcery speed move taking out this guy, I mean late game when you've got sort of 5 or 6 mana, you can dash this guy up for 3 and reduces all the other costs by 2. So if you have sort of 3 guys in hand, including this one, mm-hmm. you can pay 3 to dash it and it reduces the other costs by 2. So usually you can pay 1 or 2 for each of the other ones and sort of pay 5 or 6 mana to dash 3 or 4 guys across the board.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick, isn't it?
And do a huge amount of damage, yeah. And then you
for example, if you had 2 of these, a second Warbringer would cost you 1.
Exactly. 1 red.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is most of the dashes only cost sort of, you know, 1 red or 1 black and then sort of like 2 or 3 colours anyway. Mm-hmm. So you don't really need double of this effect because normally -2 gets it down to like a single colors or a single colors in one other.
Yeah.
I'm interested to draft around this guy, but I haven't like looked at every dash card and been like, this one's good because like some of them are not great.
Terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. This is, I've got to say there's 3 cards left and this is our third uncommon.
Oh yeah. We've got a common missing. So 3, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah. So we've got foil.
Yeah. That's mine, baby.
Yeah.
But the next card's going to be yours and I'm going to see that as soon as I throw this one out there.
All right, cool.
Our last uncommon is Ambuscade Shaman.
Oh, that goes in the dash deck too.
2 and a swamp for an orc shaman who's a 2/2. Whenever Ambuscade Shaman or another creature enters the battlefield under your control, that creature gets +2/+2 until the end of turn, and his dash cost is 4.
Yeah, so it's, if you think about it, it only works with haste creatures because they get the bonus when they themselves come into play. Yeah.
Awesome. Yep.
So you have to dash this guy out for him to get his own bonus, so you dash him out as a 4/4. So he comes into play, gives himself +2/+2, and then you attack. But he's really good with dash creatures because you're attacking for 2 more damage every turn, and then it just gets returned back to your hand. Again, a very vital part of this theoretical black-red dash deck that I haven't seen yet, but I'm hearing whispers about.
Yeah. So what's looking best out of what we've got so far
before we hit the rare? I'm just going to take Flatten here.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. You could go Flatten. Flatten's just the best choice. But, like, the most open choice. I mean, it looks like we've got some reasonable blue-black cards in this set, this pack as well. Mm-hmm. But you could also just pick the Warbringer and go all in on Dash as well.
You could, yeah.
I mean, if you want to do this, just pick one. Because you can, especially if this is pack one, pick one. Because you slam it, and you just prioritize all the Dash guys and another one of these if you can pick it up.
So. Yeah. And you're much more likely to get another Flatten. If you get past the Flatten, you'd be like, man, I maybe should have gone the Dash deck this time. But you can pick up Flattens because they're a common Warbringer. You're going to possibly build a whole deck around it. So, yeah, it's the best time to pick it up if you're going to pick it up in a pack like this.
Yeah, I think Flatten is just the better card, but it's still interesting.
Cool. Well, the rare is Corpse Weft. 2 and a swamp for an enchantment. And for one, so you stick that out there as an enchantment, and then for 1 and a swamp, you can exile 1 or more creature cards from your graveyard. Put an XX black zombie horror creature token onto the battlefield tapped, where X is twice the number of cards exiled this way.
So it costs how much to put out the first time?
It costs 3 to put out there, and then 1 in a swamp to do your fancy stuff.
Okay, cool. So this is very interesting. The rares in this set, a little hard to evaluate. Rares like this, a bit hard to evaluate, because they don't come up that often. What's your first impressions of this, Rob?
I've never played with it or played against it yet in draft.
So this is just pure card evaluation from just looking at it, right?
It just totally depends what your deck looks like. This is not a card you want to pick first, you know what I mean? It's if you're playing I can either see it in a long grindy deck or is there a self-mill? There's not even a self-mill.
It's not really
anything you can self-mill in this format. I don't know. I think it's a bit, it could be good, but I think it's a bit
too much of a risk.
Yeah, it's the longer the game goes, the better his effect is. But then also you can do it multiple times. Exile 1 creature card from your graveyard to make a 2/2. Exile 2 to make a 4/4. Exiling 2 creature cards from your graveyard to make a 4/4.
Maybe an aggressive deck if you're just playing like a lot of cheap cards that you like basically feed in, then draw this late game, then turn all your dead cards into like bigger creatures. Like
And even just like you play some exploit stuff and then you chuck this out turn 5 for 3, and then you exile 3 of your creatures that you've exploited or that you've traded off or whatever. Yeah. You have a 6/6 that came into play tapped. Like, that's...
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Ahead
I'm
of the
liking
curve.
This. I'm liking this.
Yeah.
I'm liking it.
And then they kill the 6/6, and you're like, cool, a few turns, trade off some guys, exile another 3 creatures from a graveyard, make another 6/6. Can you deal with this one? So it, you need a lot of creatures in your deck, or yeah. maybe some way to mill them, which the blue-black deck has a few cards, like Gurmag Drowner, I think, puts them in your graveyard, and... There's some other ones that put cards into your own graveyard, which would be the best way to abuse this. But you need the creature count there.
Mm. Yeah, you need a lot of creatures that you can get into.
I want to try it out. Like
yeah, I think
sure.
it could be really good. But like, yeah, like Aaron said, you can't play too many tricks. Like, you're playing black as well, so you normally want to be playing like a lot of flatten sort of effects. And you
yeah.
can't really.
Yeah.
If you're playing this, you want to be playing like a few removal spells and just mono creatures.
So how many? In you're building your a draft deck and you're starting off with that. How many dudes are you going to be putting into your deck?
I want 14 to 16.
Yeah, I was going to say like 16-ish. That's like...
Yeah. You're going count, high end. Yeah. Okay, and the foil was... I avoided all cards with this word on it because I have no idea how to say it. Ajutai? Ajutai.
Ajutai.
Ajutai's summons. 3/2 islands for a sorcery. Put a 2/2 white Jujin monk creature token with flying onto the battlefield. And he's got rebound.
Cool, so you get it again
you
for free
you get
next
a couple of them.
Yeah, this card is perfectly reasonable. You get a 2/2 for 5 the first turn you cast it. Then next turn it rebounds in your upkeep. You get another 2/2 with flying. And I'm more than happy to pay 5 mana for 4 power and toughness worth of flyers, even if it's spread over 2 turns.
Yeah,
evasion is important in this set, but then there are dragons around. So this isn't...
And that's happening at
this isn't
5.
At its best. There are some draft formats where this would be one of the best cards. I've played them. In M13, there was a card that was 4 mana and made 2/2s with flying, and it was just, like, ridiculous.
Mm.
It was the best uncommon set, better than most of the rares, just because it ended the game so quickly. This is much slower and in a format with heaps of 4/4s with flying.
Yeah, like, flying is way less valuable in this format than everything else, just because it's so prevalent. Like, everyone is playing a lot of flyers. Whereas there's other formats where... Effectively, you'll have like 1 or 2 flyers in your deck if you're not playing a flyers archetype, or you'll have like 1 or 2 ways to remove flyers, and that's it. So this format isn't quite like
that. Yeah, this format's a bit strange in that there's more flyers than normal. So Ojutai Summon's not at its best, but still a very good common. One of the better blue commons for sure.
Great. So we're sticking with Flatten then still?
I'm going with Flatten. Robbie gone deep on...
It could be Corpse Weft. No, I mean...
Corpse Weft could be one of the best...
The thing is, it could be... I think I'll
it could
probably
be insane.
Pick the Corpse Weft and try it.
Yeah.
Flatten's a common, you could get it back. Like, yeah. I'll probably pick it up. The problem is, though, if we take the Corpse Weft and then ship the Flatten, like, we're going to put the guy next to us in Flatten.
So
the next... Like, if we pass this pack having taken the Corpse Weft...
Flatten looks like a clear pick.
Yeah, and they'll see black looks reasonably open as well and take the Flatten, I would
say,
for sure.
Right. Okay, and on our wager, I don't have Corpse Weft.
Belongs to Aaron.
No, it doesn't. No,
it
no.
doesn't. It was if David didn't already have it in his collection.
So I get that, and the foil, and the 2 tokens.
Yeah!
Wow, Zara just got reamed.
Big, big winner.
It's a bad day for Aaron.
Yeah. All right, let's blob before anyone reads the fine print. All right, some good blobbage, isn't it? That was a really good one,
Blobbage.
Yeah.
We did it, guys.
Yeah, I think Riley says he listens to that last blob on repeat for hours. This one is in his workplace.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
His workplace is either terrible.
That's our Riley.
He loves it.
All right, so we're talking about living with dragons, Dragons of Tarkir today.
Mm-hmm.
So kicking off with, we've just busted a booster in the drafting format. So what are the main archetypes that we've seen emerge since Dragons was released, fellas?
So all of the color pairings are viable, which is nice. But with... when I say viable, I mean, like, you can draft them and you won't really get punished for not drafting them, but, like, the allied color, like, the dragon clans are the 5 main decks. The black-white, the opposite color ones, the enemy color ones, are just not as supported because you don't get as many multicolored cards. You can do them. Like, you could just do red-white aggro, just generic creatures and stuff, but we'll talk about the main 5, which are the 5 dragon clans. The 11th archetype is when you open Sarkhan Unbroken... And you have to draft blue, green, red in a 2-color format.
Play teamer, yeah.
Yeah. But let's
see. So, do you guys agree on what the best 3 or 4 archetypes are?
Yeah, I mean, there's basically white, green. We got green, red, and red, black, and blue, black. Yeah, they're your 4 major decks. So, with white, green, and green, red both being kind of mid-rangey aggressive decks, and red, black being the really fast, kind of dashing, low curve aggressive deck, and then blue, black being the opposite. Your sort of slow, exploity, controlling style deck.
Green, we were saying, has really good big creatures, and it's backed up by the really good red removal, Sarkhan's Rage, Twin Bolt, both at common. And green's got huge beefy creatures and stuff as well. It's got some of the better Megamorph, some of the better 2-drops, like we saw Ataka Beastbreaker. You've got Stampeding Elk Herd, which is a 5-5 for 5 at common as well.
5-5 for 5? Yeah, yeah, that's right, exactly. And it's insane.
The formidable ability, not to mention like Sabertooth Outrider and stuff. But yeah, red-green I think is the most consistently solid draft archetype so far, but that's with the format being unexplored by the millions of people playing Magic Online every day. When those kind of things come out and you see lots of pictures of deck lists and you see what's real good and real bad. Blue-black is the most popular, I think, but the most polarizing. You can either get crushed with it or do really well with it. You generally build a pretty controlling blue-black deck, like Rob said, with creatures that have some benefit when you sacrifice them or when they die, and exploit creatures to just card advantage the bejesus out of your opponent.
The only problem with that, like Aaron's saying, is it's a bit hit or miss in the sense that you really need the right number of exploit guys and the right number of guys to actually exploit. Yeah. So you've got to be trying to get the right number of card draw, the right number of removal spells, the right number of exploitable, like 2- and 1-drop creatures, and the right number of 3- and 4-drop guys that exploit people.
Yeah.
And if you get the perfect blend, it's amazing. It feels incredible. I mean, you're playing guys that you can sacrifice to draw more cards with the Aven that signs in blood. Yeah. It's insane. I mean, it feels incredible, but...
Yeah. Whereas the worst one is you play Updraft Elemental on turn 3, and you haven't played another creature, and then you have all these exploit cards, and you play one on turn 4, and you're like, do I sack it to itself, or do I sack the Updraft Elemental? And then you're like, I kind of just gave away a card that I already had on the board just to draw 2 cards. Oh, I drew 2 lands. I've got all these exploit cards in my hand. So it just, like, it can be like an amazing oiled engine that just, like, it's never even close. It feels like you're playing a different game, or you can eat shit and die.
Yeah, and you don't know. I mean, you only find out right at the end because it's through the whole draft and you've got to be picking them up. And you're always hoping, like, I'll just pick up these in the next pack.
Yeah. And you lay it out and you're like, no, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I'm losing this one, I guess. So.
All right, what else have you got?
Have you played against much red-black? It hasn't been that popular.
I've never played it. I've played against it a few times online. I mean, it just seems to be just mono-aggressive dash. I mean, didn't seem to be too much to it. It was just super aggressive. I think I lost to it the first time and I just wasn't ready for mono dash.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I think that's another one where it depends, again, on your card quality. Like, if you're the only person drafting that at the table and you end up getting all the dash creatures, or all the valuable dash creatures, I think it's going to be really good. But I haven't played it enough to really
know. So we're definitely back in playing 2 colors.
Yeah, you can't play 3 colors. There's just no fixing. So there's no dual lands really anymore. You get one in your Fate Reforged pack and that's it. So
you get Evolving Wilds and Dragons of Tyr as well, but you're not going to pick them up with the consistency that we did before. I've had some cheeky splashes in Sealed because I've played... you can play Map the Wastes if you're green from Fate Reforged as well.
Explosive Vegetation.
Oh, God. A guy... while I remember this, a guy played turn 4 Dragonlord Kolaghan against me. He's a 6-5 with Haste. And he was playing 3-color. He was just playing Jund colors, so red, green, splash, black for the Kolaghan. Played it on turn 4 against me, and I was like, that's a powerful splash. That is a reason to play 3 colors, I guess, for when you do that. But the rest of the time, it just seems like it's going to be too inconsistent. You don't want to draw... There's no, like, turn 1 dual land, turn 2 dual land, turn 3 dual land. Cool, I'm fixed for the rest of the game. It doesn't matter. This is just like, you're not going to pick up the dual land that you need in the Fate Reforged pack most of the time. No. Which is why Sarkhan is a trap.
Mm. Yeah, I actually opened it in pre-release and I just could not play it. I tried it so many iterations of my deck to try and get it to play, and it was just...
I'm thinking of Sauron. Now, we opened in Sauron, who's Khans, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
And it was 3 packs. I was trying to remember what I did. I'm sure I was maybe 2 colors, and then I got Sauron.
Black White Warriors with Sauron?
No, it was Sauron. Otherwise, it was I splashed for Sauron, and I managed to play him twice. It was the most ridiculous.
That's so good.
Yeah, it was stupid, but it was good fun. And I managed to ultimate him, like I was telling you about earlier on, which was also dumb. It's like, how did you let me do that?
Yeah. Now you have the actual token as well. Yeah. You have the emblem.
And no blue white anymore, Aaron.
Blue white is so sketchy. I've drafted it twice. So I've done 8 drafts online and 2 in person. And 2 of my drafts have been blue-white flyers. You've got Pacifism, which is the best white common. Man, I'm talking about commons a lot today. And you've got stuff like Enduring Victory, which is destroy target attacking a blocking creature, and then you've got Sandblast, which are good controlling elements. You want to lock down the creatures and get through with flyers and stuff, but it's just been a bit sketchy for me. Yeah. The blue card filtering doesn't really support tempo that well. Maybe I just got to learn to draft it better, but it's not been a standout.
There's a lot of tap doesn't untap again sort of cards still floating around. There,
yeah,
isn't there?
Ogitize Breath, but it doesn't draw you a card now, which is what you needed to keep that engine going.
Yeah,
with
yeah, that's like Crippling Chill. So good, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Rob binging there with his phone.
Put that phone up.
But yeah, blue white, the fifth best archetype, I think, by a bit of a margin.
All right, cool.
Unfortunately.
Moving on.
I love blue white as well.
Moving on from that, just a quickie. What's this dragon counter that they were talking about at the pre-pro weekend? What happened?
So we actually couldn't find the final number, but the story was that for Dragons and Takiya, we couldn't actually get the final total.
It's in the hundreds.
You've jumped ahead about three pages here. Just forget about the number. What?
Yeah, no,
what?
I'll go it's back coming. And fill you the in. Intro, it's the, intro is, the intro is coming, but I didn't want to do this whole thing and then hype you up and then say, oh, we don't know what
it's
it is.
It's one of those movies that starts with the ending and you're like, whoa, how do they get to that point? What are they talking about?
Right, lead us into the car crash.
So this set here, being Dragons of Takiya, obviously, the theme was to see how many of the pros at the pro tour actually going to run these dragons. So we had a bit of a counter. Every time at the pro tour that a dragon was played, anytime on camera, they counted it up and they saw like how many each day were played, and it was a huge amount actually by the end of the time. Like
who was tracking it?
It was just the guys doing coverage. Yeah. So okay. Every time it was cast on coverage, any dragon at all, they just chalked it up. So it was mostly Dragon Lord Ataka that was rained all day across camera.
Yeah.
So Dragon Lord Ataka being the green red 8/8 that comes into play, does 5 damage to creature or planeswalker.
How you choose,
it's insanely good. So that was almost all the dragons split between that and that Thunderbreak Regent, which is the same deck, so 4/4 flyer, and then also Ogitai, Dragonlord Ogitai,
was in the blue white black control. Well, the blue black decks are splashed specifically for the blue white Dragonlord Ogitai.
Yeah, it's blue black that plays only white for Ogitai.
So what we're saying is they had a dragon counter that counted every single dragon that was played
on camera.
But we have no idea what that number is.
It was a lot. It was a lot more than people.
That's all
17?
It was huge. They were in. No, it was like 60 or something.
And this is on camera. Yeah, in feature matches.
So people are playing. They wanted to actually see our dudes playing dragons. It's called Dragons of Takiya. I mean, the last one was Khans of Takiya, but like no one played any Khans. So
I played an Offenza once.
There was a foul.
What about Dragons Maze? There's a lot of dragons played. Oh, no.
No mazes played in that.
No mazes either.
Yeah, jeez.
Dragon. They said Dragons Maze came out. Our biggest mistake, along with a lot of the other shit that was in that set, biggest mistake of all was not putting any dragons in it.
So excited to play dragons, and then like so much dragons so that I wasn't all that thrilled about Dragons of Takiya. All those dragons are coming. It's like, I've done that excitement cycle, and now
And but it looks, it is cool. They knew, and so now in this they put more dragons in per booster pack than they've ever done, and I think that they've succeeded in putting dragons in the spotlight. They're the Titans from years ago, where Titans were the big finisher in every deck. Now dragons are the biggest finisher in every
deck. And next set will be Bears of Ravnica.
Bears of Zendikar, actually. Bears and Eldrazi of Ravnica.
All right. So, moving on to Standard, what are the strongest decks in Constructed at the moment now that Dragons has done its thing?
Yeah, so we've just had the first Pro Tour, obviously the Dragons of Takiya Pro Tour in Standard. So we've got two things we'll look at. We'll just go through the top eight quickly of the event to see where people finished up, and then just a really quick look at the metagame breakdown, the percentages, to see what not just the top eight guys are playing, but what the room of pros in general thought were the best decks. So do we want to have a look at the metagame first?
Yeah, so the metagame, the way that these are sorted are people who made day two as a percentage playing this deck, and they're listed by just in order of how many people played them overall. The deck that took out the whole tournament, took out the Pro Tour, Martin Dang from Denmark with a red aggro deck splashing green for...
M-Dang.
Yeah. Someone told me that he's part of the famous Ding Dang Dong trio who all played at a Grand Prix once on the player list. I played against Jack Ding.
Wow.
In Auckland, actually.
Shout out to Ding Dang Dong.
Ding Dang Dong, the trio. And one's won a Pro Tour now, so...
The other guys need to catch up, man.
Ding and Dong need to catch the...
Otherwise, it's just going to be the Dong show. I mean,
No one wants a dung show. So, yeah, red aggro. They didn't discriminate between the red aggro, just straight red, and the ones that splash green for Ataka's command. But the one that splashed green for Ataka's command won the Pro Tour, and it was the best performing out of them. 31 people played it on day one, and 66% of people made the day two cut. And, sorry, it was 31 people playing it on day two,
yeah,
which was 12% of the field. And this is a deck that's built around swarming the board with goblins and throwing burn spells at your opponent's face and attacking around whatever blockers and stuff they have.
Thematically fine. And then cruising over with dragons at the end?
No, it's just literally just throws all goblins.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then it has Ataka's command, which gives all your guys +1/+1 and does 3 damage to the enemy. So you basically lay down like dragon fodder, which makes 2 goblins for 2 mana.
Yeah.
And then hoarding outburst, which just makes 3 goblins for 3 mana. So you
Goblin
have a huge
rabble master.
Yeah, you have a huge wall of guys.
Like Krenko mob boss days, you know.
Yeah, back in the day.
It's literally like a goblin kind of theme deck. You play frenzied goblin. You play Foundry Street Denizen, which gets +1/+0 whenever a red creature comes into play. You just make all these token makers.
Yeah.
So dragon fodder has weirdly made dragon fodder's only come out in Dragons of Tarkir. It's a reprint from back in the day, but like it's kind of made this weird goblin tribal deck that's all boosts up your Goblin Rabble Master, and then you just throw burn spells for the last few points of damage.
Oh, good. I'm glad goblins are doing it. Like, goblins is a tribal theme I can get into.
Yeah.
Didn't really feel it for slivers. Don't care for minotaurs. Gobbos.
Goblins,
yeah.
But there's nothing that buffs all your goblins apart from Rabble Master, which makes goblins, and then he gets a bonus for all your other attacking goblins.
Right.
Yeah, which like is usually, kind of strange.
Yeah. Usually in the past, there's always been a goblin lord or like a goblin war chief.
All
or
your
some
goblins
kind
get
of
+1/+0. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Some kind of lord effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not quite now.
So this one took out the Pro Tour, but it was not the standout deck of Day 2. Rob, which deck was that?
Let me grab the phone from Aaron here. So the standout deck was actually Blue-Black Control.
Mm.
So Blue-Black Control, they haven't divided into two versions. So there's a few versions of this Blue-Black Control. There was 29 guys all up that made the second day, which was 11% of the tour. 11.2% of the field, so pretty good. But Blue-Black Control, there was 3 different versions of this deck played around. So there was an Esper version, so Blue-Black just playing white for Ojutai that did very well.
Mm-hmm.
The example was Josh Utterleighton finished 9th with that deck, really, really good. Then there was also an Adrian Sullivan list that played no dragons and no creatures, effectively.
Yeah.
Didn't play any of these.
It was just like an old-school version of the Blue-Black Control.
Exactly. So just sort of like last season's one updated. So very interesting. He's been working on it for a long time, and he's got a great article online about that.
Yep.
And then the third version was the Shota Yasuoka version, which I played today, unfortunately, terribly. But a very, very cool deck, which plays no white and just plays Icefall Regent over Ojutai. So it has a slightly better mana base, but a slightly worse top-end finisher.
Yeah, so going along with the dragon's theme, as well as having just creatures that have the creature-type dragon, you also have a bunch of spells that are boosted by controlling a dragon or revealing one from your hand as you cast it. And Shota Yasuoka made the top 8 with this blue-black deck that just played blue dragons, black dragons, blue-black dragons, and there's a counter spell which costs blue-blue. Counter target spell, unless its controller pays 1. If you reveal a dragon from your hand or you control one as you cast it, just counter it instead. So for 2 mana, you've got a hard counter if you just reveal one of the dragons that you're going to kill him with, which is amazing. I don't remember the last time there was a hard counter spell. It's not technically hard because you have to reveal... Hard being, it's always going to counter something. They can't pay their way out of it.
But it sounds like it's after game one, it's pretty obvious this guy is playing lots of dragons. So if he reveals a dragon, you're probably like, oh, well, I kind of knew that was going to be there anyway.
Yeah, but what you do is you play... He played Silumgar, the Drifting Death, which has Hexproof. They can't even target it with their kill spells. Yeah, Toothless. Yeah. Dragonlord Silumgar out of the board.
No, main. So 2 main.
Oh, 2 main,
so
yeah.
There's actually only 2 Silumgar Dragonlords, 1 Drifting Death, and 3 Icefall Regents.
Interesting deck. Icefall Regents is a weird one. It looks really fragile. It's a 4-3 with flying for 3 blue-blue. And when it comes into play, you tap down one of your opponent's creatures and it doesn't untap during their turn.
Yeah.
Spells your opponent's cast that target it cost 2 more. So if they cast Hero's Downfall for 3, they have to pay an extra 2 to be able to cast it. So you don't get the tempo of being able to kill their thing that's locking down your creature because you have to pay all of your mana to be able to kill it. So he went all the way to the top 8 through the Pro Tour playing this crazy blue-black dragons deck that no one else was really on. And, yeah, obviously did very well.
Yeah, so they said he tests on his own. So he's part of that MTG Card Mint team, but he doesn't test with them. They said he just tests on his own. So he just plays on his own with no one and comes and meets those guys there 2 days before the event and just doesn't talk to them about any of the decks or anything and then just plays his own stuff. They said, like, he's not a social guy. He brews on his own, tests on his own, and builds on his own.
And how does he test on his own? Is he like the goldfish thing?
Plays on Magic Online. Using a secret account that no one knows.
Oh,
yeah, that's how they all do it. So you can grind any time. You get up at 3 in the morning, you want to play a game, Magic Online's ready.
So you'd, like, run into this dude playing this blue-black deck that's playing, like, Icefall Region. You'd be like, this guy sucks. And then he beat you, and you'd be like, he's just lucky. And then you see him at the top of the Pro Tour, and you're like, fuck, it's that Japanese guy. This was the standout deck of the tournament, because when you crunch the numbers, you look at the mono-red thing. This is what I was trying to say earlier.
Yeah.
The percentage of decks that... The win percentage with the
come
red...
Come back later when Darren will have a third crack at this.
The win percentage with the red deck on day two, 66%.
Right.
They won their matches. Blue-black control, 90.6 of their matches.
Always play that deck.
Yeah. So this was the standout deck of the tournament, spread over those three different archetypes that Rob talked about. But it just did so well. And the main reason that more blue-black players didn't make the top eight was because of their draft records. Which I just listened to on Limited Resources today. Josh Adelaiden came ninth because I think he only went 4-2 in draft. If he'd won one more game, I think he only lost one game of constructed.
Yeah, he was 9-1
in standard. Yeah. But the Limited let him down. So they had the best constructed deck, but they got let down by their draft records.
All right. Any other decks worth mentioning?
The other biggest one, the main source of the dragon counter on the coverage, is red-green dragons, which is obviously a new archetype, didn't really exist before. Kian was playing this deck before,
and he says that
he's been playing it for ages, like for 6 months, and now it's finally getting good.
Yeah.
It's only good because of the new cards.
Yeah, so they just printed the dragons. Okay. He's like, well, look, now everyone's realized it's good. Yeah. Well, it's only good because of these
cards. Before,
he
was just playing red-green with Stormbreath dragons in it and calling it red-green dragons.
So he's holding on to green-red monsters from way back and then just threw dragons
by
in
by monsters,
there.
I meant dragons the whole time, obviously.
Yeah. Well, they are. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Kian. I'm with you.
So now it plays Thunderbreak Regent, which is a 4/4 flying dragon. Whenever you target any dragon, my opponent, target any dragon I control, deals 3 damage to you before the spell resolves.
And that ability stacks, which is important. So if you play one Thunderbreak and then you untap, play another Thunderbreak, if they try and target one either of your dragons or any other dragon you
both
control,
of them go off and they take 6 damage.
So if they try and kill it with a Hero's Downfall or a Murderous Cut, that's fine. 6 damage to the face immediately. Yeah. So it's huge. I mean, it just represents a huge clock.
And Kian invented all that.
Kian, 6 months ago, he wrote that list.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing.
So he guessed what all the dragons in the new set would do. Mm. Started brewing immediately.
Oh, good.
It was amazing.
And he asked if I could pick him up some KFC today. And I said, only if you're on the pod tonight.
And what did he say, David?
He said, yeah, I'll be on the pod. Here's my order. And I did my part of it and gave him his KFC. And what have you got to say about that, Kian? Oh, he's not here.
Oh, he's not here. What?
I mean, you didn't say he needs to be on the pod tonight, right? You're being more specific.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You said he needs
didn't
to be on
write
the pod.
It in the contract.
I mean, he's been on the pod. So
yes, he's all you need to do is be on the pod. Yeah. Been on the pod.
Well played. Well played,
well
Kian.
Well played, Kian.
Yeah.
So there was one of this archetype piloted by Jason Chung, who I met in New Zealand, actually. Nice guy. He made the top eight with red-green dragons. It's got a Dragon Lord Ataka in it, which costs 7... 5 red-green for an 8/8 with flying and trample. And when it comes into play, deals 5 damages you choose among creatures or planeswalkers. It just comes down, immediately destroys their side of the board. And even if they kill your 8/8, maybe they take 3 damage because you already had a Thunderbreak Regent out. Or, like, you know, you killed their planeswalker for pretty much free. So the fact that it comes down, you get some value even if they kill it. Like, and it's also pretty great to whip back with Whip of Erebos, which was in another deck.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's Ataka is so good that, as an example, there's a previous Abzan Control deck. So Abzan Control, very popular before the Pro Tour.
Yep.
And then one of the most popular versions at the Pro Tour was actually just Abzan, and then it played red only for Ataka. So it was Ataka, Abzan. So just the main deck, just Ataka.
So it was a 4-color control deck. Yeah.
4-color,
pretty sweet.
Like 4-color mid-range you control, with Ataka at the top end. Like, no other red cards, just Ataka.
Again, this sounds like... I think Wizards of the Coast have done a really good thing by making a set called Dragons of Tarkir, make everyone go out of their way to play dragons. And again, this just sounds ridiculous. A kid comes up to you at FNM, he's like, I got a 3-color Abzan deck, and I'm splashing for... I don't know why he's American. I'm splashing for Ataka. And you're like, yeah, all right, good yeah, luck,
like, did
buddy.
You just pull this out of the booster and want to
yeah,
play
what did you
that's,
do?
You know, that's
yeah.
what it looks like.
Well, I can give you some lands to help you cast it, I guess. But the pros
I didn't know
did
you
it and did it well.
I didn't know you were listening in on that conversation that I had with them.
with that child?
Oh, no, I was the child.
Oh, you were yeah. the child? Okay.
Anyway, I think we better maybe blob and go yeah. come back with a bit of flavor.
Sounds good.
Mm. Yeah.
Flavor text.
Here we are with flavor text. And this one, you might have been listening in, Aaron, that I've made things rather easy whilst you haven't been around.
I only listened to the one where I made the modern booster, which is my favourite. The only one
you
where,
mentioned
you,
many
where
times,
you mentioned yeah. me a whole bunch of times.
We did.
We've been slagging you off every week.
Yeah.
We were
yeah.
told. I was told when I came here that Aaron is so good at this game that they actually had to make it like more
really
difficult for you, but really easy for everyone else.
Yeah,
otherwise,
okay.
there's no competition.
Who's been winning?
I mean, not me.
Not Rob.
Rob's actually relatively new to this.
I've picked up the answers out a bunch of times where I'm like, oh, isn't it this card? And then they're like, yes, it's my turn.
What's wrong with you?
That's a trap for new players, is that you can often say the name of the card out loud.
Yeah.
Right. Team game.
Think about it. Sure. Flavor Rob. Sure.
14-ish.
14 and a half.
Yeah. And the theme is Dragons of Tarkir.
No way. Mm. No frickin'
I'm telling you up front, it's Dragons of Tarkir. So these are only cards.
No freaking way.
The Shifting Wastes are Dramakar's domain. She will not tolerate intruders.
Is it?
No, you don't say that loud.
The Shifting
you
Wastes
write it down.
Of Dramakar's domain.
There's three. You write your answers down. We'll come back and see how you've gone. The Shifting Wastes are Dramakar's domain. She will not tolerate intruders. And that's a card from Dragons of Tarkir. Right, number two, the small are mostly ignored by dragons. It's not really many.
Oh, is that it? I read it twice.
If you okay. The small.
I thought you were enunciating. The small yeah. are mainly.
I didn't know which one to emphasize. The small are mostly ignored by dragons. Or the small are mostly ignored by dragons. Take it as you like it.
What's small?
Yeah. Okay. And number three, Ataka goblins meet their demise as readily as their Temur counterparts did, but usually under big winged shadows.
Ooh.
Oh, come on. You're going to be drooling over that one.
Drooling?
Ooh. Yeah.
Only you could see on this side.
All right, who wants to go first?
Oh, is there only three?
There's only three.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. All right. Aaron, I'll let you go. You kick it off, man. The Shifting Wastes are Dromakar's domain. She will not tolerate intruders. Got an opening bid.
Should I sound it out like I usually do?
You can do.
I think it's like, it seems like a thing where it has to be a green or a white card because it's related to Dromakar.
Right.
It has to be something to do with, like, destroying a creature or, like, stopping it from attacking or blocking or some shit.
Yeah.
So there's only a few effects in the set that do that. But then I could only think of... I don't think it's that. Oh, I'm really gambling here. I think... And this does none of the things that I just said. It just makes X11s. I think it's Secure the Wastes.
Secure the Wastes.
Yeah, that is also what I've got.
You've got that as well. Right. It was Radiant Purge.
Oh, good job, team.
Which is pretty much what you described, right?
Yeah. And I knew that I'd read it somewhere, but not on which card.
Mm, I was like, there's wastes. I mean, we're securing them. With guys,
secure
Dramoka's
the wastes.
Yeah, exactly.
Radiant Purge, one and a plains instant exile target multicolored creature or multicolored enchantment.
Yeah.
All right.
She hates multicolored shit being on her land.
Yeah. racist. Just throw that out there. Small are mostly ignored by dragons, Rob.
All right, we're going to go to number three, I think, because that one I have no idea.
There's no going to number three.
I'm
the game's host. You take that, you go number three, you put me out of a job.
Whoa, host. Let's go to number three. Let's skip to number three.
Where's the team effort here? Okay, so we're stuck with number two. I honestly have no idea. Small, I was thinking, I'm going here with I'm not sure.
Remember, you can guess
little,
the same thing twice.
Tokens, so I've gone dragon fodder for this one.
Right.
In theme with my next pick, but I'm thinking they're small. You know, they're tiny. It's two.
They're
two,
mostly
one,
ignored by dragons.
They're mostly ignored, yeah. Sometimes eaten. I don't know. That's yeah. I actually have no idea.
So you've gone for dragon fodder, Aaron?
I don't take this as my final answer. I also wrote dragon fodder, then realized it wasn't dragon fodder because right. that's. Probably number three. So maybe you shouldn't give it away because we're both not sure. I yeah. think number two is Dragon Lord's Servant, which is dragon spells you cast cost one less to cast right. for a 1/3 or some shit.
Is that the same card as Goodle Lurker?
It's similar, I think.
Yeah.
One no. Island, Goodle
very
Lurker.
Very different.
It's a salamander.
It's unblockable. It's ignored blocks. By dragons.
Yeah.
Whoops, fuck that up.
Yeah,
it okay. looked. I thought cause it was anyway when I read it out loud today because I thought it was massive, but it might just be a little thing in
yeah,
water.
He's only
but,
a 1/1,
but close up.
Yeah,
because he looks massive in the picture.
And also, it's like refraction when you look through
yes.
water; it looks
yes.
bigger.
It's a megamorph, though.
It's a megamorph.
Like, you never
yeah.
know. You refract, you think it's big. It is big.
Oh, whoa!
Oh, suddenly, it's enormous.
That's why. Yeah, and dragons are going. Oh, the refraction. Oh, I just can't. God. I just don't want to go in for that. yeah, number three. Yeah.
Yeah, what was that
okay, dragon so fodder. Read it out for us again.
Right, Ataka goblins meet their demise as readily as their team of counterparts did, but usually under big winged shadows.
I think it's dragon fodder.
I'm going to go the other one. I'm going to go hoarding outbursts because I remember the image being something like a bunch of goblins running, and over the top there's this huge dragon with its wings spread.
Can
out.
I revise my answer?
Do you think hoarding outburst?
I think it's the. But it's not in Dragons of Taki.
But
you said
they're in
Dragons
said your
of
bit.
Oh,
wait a
crap.
Second.
I said, oh, no,
Holding Outburst isn't technically in Dragons of Taki. But
panic.
I think.
Panic around the table.
I think it's in the Fate Reforged packs. No. I'm going to stick with
I
Dragon
actually thought
photo.
This
Whatever.
Was on the promo for it. Anyway, let's see it.
It what? Is on the promo.
I thought it was the promo
what?
Holding
several
Outburst.
No,
answers.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Okay,
okay,
Dragon Fodder, Holding Outburst.
I don't know. Well, yeah, that's what I said. It's the wrong set. It's, I'm out. I'm way out.
Dragon Fodder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was something like that.
Oh, defeated.
Oh, Aaron's won up.
I had the, so, I yeah, because I thought it was the picture from, yeah, the Holding Outburst.
From the promo, right?
Exactly.
It's a debacle. All right, part two, topic discussion. The MTG block structure has gone crazy, hasn't it? It's gone from three and core set to now.
What?
Explain it to
what?
Us.
What does it include?
What
I'll
is it
tell
gonna,
you.
What's it going to look like? Let us know.
Okay, so it hasn't gone crazy yet. We're going into the crazy bit.
We're at the end of a three set block.
Yeah, so since Magic's been around, blocks have been made up of three sets. There's the big one, then there's a small one, then there's a small one. And every time you drafted it, you draft three boosters of the big set. When the second set came out, you draft two boosters of the big set, then a small one. And then
one
when the third one came out, you do the first set, big one, small, small.
Yeah.
New set. that was how it was when I started drafting. And then they started changing stuff around because it was getting boring. You get bored of that first set, opening it every time. So they flipped the block structure. When the new set comes out, you draft that first. So you're looking at that, back it up with the second set, back it up with the original set. And then they changed it even more because people were getting bored with it. Zendikar went Zendikar into Worldwake, which you went Zendikar, Worldwake. Then when Rise of the Eldrazi came out, you just stopped drafting Zendikar and Worldwake and just drafted three Rise of the Eldrazi. And they did that with Innistrad as well. So Innistrad and Dark Ascension.
Hmm.
And then when Avacyn Restored came out, you just drafted triple Avacyn Restored.
Oh, really?
Yep. Oh. In between, we've had ones where it's been triple. So, like, Return to Ravnica, you drafted by itself. Gatecrash, you drafted by itself. When Dragons came out, you drafted all three of them back again.
You threw your dragons in the bin.
Yeah.
And dragons base in the bin.
What dragons? There weren't any dragons.
That's all right.
But they realized that they kept sticking to this three-block structure for no particular reason.
Right.
You get a bit bored with the storyline. You get bored of seeing the same stuff.
Yeah.
So the last set that we're going to see that happen with is Khan's Fate. Dragons of Tarkir.
Which, strangely enough, has quite held it all together quite well, hasn't it?
It has actually been the best three one.
It's been really good.
Yeah. Because Theros, Born of the Gods Journey, you're just a bit tired.
Yeah.
Oh, there's enchantments in this set. Oh, there's a bit of a Greek theme. Oh, Xenagos is being a knob wizard.
Ravnica was all over the place.
Ravnica was a bit of a
Innistrad, Dark Ascension. Avacyn. I kind of like that
storyline. That's the same block as the guys that designed this block. So it's the same team that did Avacyn.
Those guys have got it down. Yeah. All of their names would mention if we had them.
Brian Tinsman.
That's the man.
The guy that did the photocopying for them sometimes.
Oh, yeah. He was really important.
The chick that got coffee.
I love coffee, girl. Yeah, that's her. Love it.
So where we're at now then, because that's going to end, isn't it?
And then there was this other thing that they were stuck with from back in the day called the Core Set, which is a set that comes out once every year, designed for newer players.
That I love.
But they have to keep interest in it up to justify a big release in the middle of the year.
And I love it.
So they would make the draft really interesting.
Love the Core Set.
Yeah, because it's just a great way. It boils Magic down to its core. And you could draft each color how it's meant to be drafted rather than it being all about enchantments or all about multicolors.
And I'd get I'd wind myself up with panic after a couple of sets come out going, I can't keep up with this, it's getting too hard. And all the
Dragon's
good players
came
were
out,
just kicking our asses. And then Corset comes out and it's just like, oh, good, we'll just play Magic again.
Yeah.
So just the basic rules. Don't need to learn anything new.
The
flying,
stuff.
I know what flying does. Yeah. Trample? I know what trample does.
Yeah.
Oh. Bolster?
It's like a big cuddle from your grandma.
What is this? Do I want my own guy? That sounds awful.
What?
And people are like, oh, Rebound's back. What do you mean it's back? I didn't even when we had it before.
But they've decided to simplify all of it for two reasons. The core
stupid
sets,
people like me.
Stupid people like you. The core set has become this thing that wants to both be really competitive. It has to be played at the Pro Tour level. You have to be able to draft it at the Pro Tour.
Yeah.
And it has to be the thing that people come and look at when they start playing Magic.
Yeah.
That doesn't work very well. Because you've got this set that's got like 2/2 for two, and then you've got a really interesting draft around me uncommon, which no one wants to put in their constructed decks. So they've canned the core set. The core set that's coming out in July is called Magic Origins. It will be the last core set that comes out.
Why didn't they just make it core set 2016?
They wanted to do something special with it because they're phasing it out, and also they want to show because the Magic movie is coming out, they want to start showing
more
some
on
of
that
the,
later.
Yeah,
not today. We'll get to it.
They want to give a bit more of backstory to the Planeswalkers and show where they came from because superhero movies are really popular and stuff as well.
Yeah.
And then they've also condensed the blocks from three because, like, there's no reason that they should be three. Now they're two set blocks.
Yeah.
So Battle for Zendikar is going to come out in October. It's going to be the first one in this new phase.
So that will get teamed up with Origins?
Explain that. That's the complicated bit.
That's the
changeover. So Battle for Zendikar, and let's call it Battle for Zendikar 2, which will come out where Fate Reforged did.
Oh, we've just given it that name, Battle for Zendikar.
We have no idea what it's going to be called. But that's going to be only two sets in that block.
Yeah.
Now, when Battle for Zendikar comes out, it's going to knock out Theros, Born of the Gods, Journey into Nyx, Magic 2015. So Standard will be made up of Khans, Dragons, Fate Reforged, Magic Origins, which is the last core set, and Battle for Zendikar. This is all normal.
That's Standard. Good.
Battle for Zendikar 2 will come out, or just add to it. So Standard's going to be all of Khan's block, the two Battle for Zendikar ones, Magic Origins. The weird thing is when the next one comes out, we have no idea what it's going to be called. It's
Battle for Zendikar 3.
Battle for Zendikar 3.
Oh, it'll be a totally different set, won't it?
It won't be a completely different block for Zendikar 3 at all. Different storyline. Let's say it's Return to Theros, which it's not going to be.
Yeah.
But
it was so good last time.
It was so great. And we only just left. Everyone wants to go back.
Yeah.
Elspeth's dead. What are we going to do? Who knows?
Yeah.
So Return to Theros will come out where Dragons of Tarkir did, instead of being the third block. And then instead of the core set, we'll get Return to Theros 2.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes.
But
down the line, the core set's going to disappear and be replaced by the second set of that second block.
No, exactly.
It's like its release slot just gets taken away. So it just gets like that slot just gets added.
So where Magic 2017 would have come out, Return to Theros 2 will come out.
Well, that's what I was trying to
say. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the odd thing is that when
Return to Theros. People listening to this going, oh, I can't wait. There's some big guys that's talking about Return to Theros.
They fucked up. We'll never go back to Theros.
People do not want to go to Theros, man. They'll be like, Return to Theros. People just like, you're like,
come on, man.
Return to Kamigawa will be warmly greeted.
Yeah, that would be sweet. Kamigawa, some old school stuff, but no one wants more Greek stuff, man. Get out.
Okay,
what about Eldrazi? That would be cool, wouldn't it?
That's what's on Zendikar.
Yeah, is it?
That's what's on Zendikar. The battle for Zendikar is all these people desperately trying to fight the Eldrazi and failing, which is great.
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah, Return to Theros will come out when Dragons did. So that's this time next year. That will knock out two sets now. Yeah. So every time a new block comes out, it knocks out two sets. But because of this weird changeover, Return to Theros 2, this time next year, will knock out Khans and Fate Reforged. And so we'll have weird Origins, Dragons, Battle for Zendikar.
That's when it's getting weird Zendikar for 2. A bit. Yeah.
That's the weird section.
Yeah.
Where we've got a crossover of this three-block structure and the two-block structure, but they announced this a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So
suck it up. Yeah. But it'll make sense, though, eventually. So there's going to be no core set. It'll just be two sets and two sets and two sets and two sets.
And instead of the core set, they're going to release... They've said they're going to release supplementary... Supplementary?
So it's like intro...
Supplemental products to ease new players into the game. But it's very unlikely it's going to be a booster set. It's probably going to be some standalone...
It'd be like an intro versus thingy set.
Set of intro packs that you can get and it just teaches you the game rather than picking up the core set. Because it's hard to explain the core set to people.
Mm.
You go, oh, it's designed for new players. But it's got all this complicated shit in it that you can't understand just coming into the game.
The thing was that they had a big problem with Core Set as well, is the idea was that it's meant to be teaching you about the game,
mm-hmm.
except that it only comes out one time of the year. So if you want to learn the game and it's 5 million, if it's between the two Core Sets, you come and you go, okay, cool. Where's the Core Set? You go, oh, well, no, it's not. We're not using it really anymore.
Come and see us in
These
June.
These are the current sets. Yeah, just don't play for
only
6 months.
Only learn Magic in June, man. Yeah.
Don't play for 6 months. Come back then. You're just like, no way. Yeah. So people were learning... Yeah. They said that people weren't using the core set to learn anyway. They were just using whatever set was out when they started playing randomly. Yeah.
So that's why they make intro packs for every single set that comes out. They make 5 intro packs for every set. So that's Khans, Fate, Dragons. We get 5 different intro packs. Because it doesn't cost them that much to do that. But now we're going to get an evergreen product of new player stuff, which is designed for new players to come in and enjoy. But we don't know what that is yet. That's what I thought Magic Origins was going to be. If you go back on Aaron Graham Premonitions, I said... When the new block happens, they had trademarked Magic Origins.
I forgot about Aaron Graham Premonitions.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't got your penny flip with you, so I imagine you haven't. You're not in touch with the...
Yeah.
All right.
I threw it in a lake in New Zealand.
Oh, did you?
No. No, I didn't take it with me.
We'll get letters. we'll get upset. We'll get old-fashioned letters going through the mail.
Yeah.
All right, brilliant.
So that's the rundown of the new block structure. It's going to be weird for a little while, but then it'll all make sense.
I think we've got all the information out there. I feel like I know now.
Yeah,
so the upside is more blocks. The downside is they rotate quicker as well, so your cards are less playable.
But
that's not too bad, though, either, because if you just can't gel with the certain mechanics that are in a certain set and other people are, you can go, well, that's fine. It's going to be all over in a minute.
Yeah,
and you get to sell more product as well, which is always good.
Which is
it's
great
the same amount
them.
Of product, isn't
no,
it?
No, because it's like people will buy the cards usually and then be able to play them for 18 months and now they can't. So
they play them for 13 to 15 months.
So now they're less usable, so you've got to buy more cards more regularly. So now it's
because
it's
sets
good
rotate
business.
Every time a second set comes out now.
Yeah.
So you've got to rotate cards. I think it's 12 to 15 months will be the rotation schedule. But what happened before was one of the other big reasons for this change was Standard would get stale really quickly because there are millions of players playing your game now. When Theros came out, people were like, Mono Black's a pretty good deck, did really well at the Pro Tour. Mono Blue's a really good deck, did well at the Pro Tour. It was the same for 6 to 8 months and it was boring as fuck.
Yeah, Taki has championed the reversal of that.
Yeah, they've done
so
very well.
Many different
that
ways
was the
of
worst
winning.
One of the last one. Like, I was playing Mono Black and it was just so boring. And same
boring
with like, Mono Blue was good, but also pretty like
boring.
Just, it wasn't exciting. They were strong, but not interesting. So I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's good. We've defined stuff. All right, we're going to come back with a bit of MTG card quiz. MTG card quiz, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
I didn't bring my penny whistle, sorry, guys.
MTG card quiz. All right, fellas, this could be MTG card quiz 13 or 14.
Who knows?
I've lost count now. But
we don't want 13, it's unlucky. Right?
Yeah, 14.
It's 14.
It's 12B.
Question one. Here we go. The score update is...
I'm still undefeated. Though,
you are undefeated. You've never lost because you know everything about every Magic card ever written and made, ever.
I've never said that.
How can you face that, Rob?
I've heard that a few times, actually. Yeah, I think it's Aaron Graham quote.
Yeah.
What?
It's going to be your tombstone quote. No, every Magic card.
That was my yearbook quote. I know everything about every Magic card.
His tombstone will just be a Magic card. And he's a 0-0 now.
Okay.
All right. In Dragons of Tarkir, there are 16 reprints, not functional reprints, just the reprints, right?
Yep.
From earlier sets.
Mm-hmm.
A point for each one you can name.
Oh, God, okay.
So I'll just read over it while you guys go. In Dragons of Tarkir, there are 16 reprints from earlier sets. We're going to give you a point for everyone that you can name. And what's been strange is that you've been rattling off a few as we've gone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
16.
Now I'm struggling.
Yeah, that's the same with me. You get a few down, it's like, okay, cool, got all these.
If looking like a handful each, if you can say what set it was from, I've got those here as well. You never know.
Oh.
Might give you a point for that.
Goodness me.
I know you can agree or do you want to agree on that or not? You want to. That's it.
Yep.
There might be. There is actually.
What do we got? There is at least one.
All right. Yeah, let's give you
a few more seconds on this one.
Oh yeah, you should have timed it. That would have been good.
Well, I am. You got long as it takes for me to have a swig of red creaming soda. Mm. That's red creaming soda.
No, but good game's Cannington.
Now in Cannington. Question two.
Oh no.
You can keep scribbling on that as we go. Mm-hmm. Dragons of Tarkir has 5 intro packs.
Sure.
It has 5 intro packs, Rob. Still working feverishly on number one. Emerging Ranks, Enlightened Mastery, Cruel Plots, Relentless Rush, and Furious Forces. Except one of these titles is fictitious. Which one?
Here we go. I've got to reach a zen-like state.
Yeah, are you ready? Emerging Ranks, Enlightened Mastery, Cruel Plots, Relentless Rush, and Furious Forces.
I've got to write them down, sorry. Enlightened Mastery.
Emerging Ranks, Cruel Plots, Relentless Rush, and Furious Forces. Sure, listeners at home now are looking up onto the shelf where they've got all 5 of these. Well, they've got 4 of these, and one of them they're going, see what he's done there. So one of those isn't correct.
Cruel
Plots.
I think it's a real... That's got to be one. Say what it is? We don't say what it is.
No, right? You wait. Okay. How complex... It's not...
I mean, the thing is that...
He's rattling off tips on how to play magic.
I've got 100% of my mental energy focused into the question. Yeah. You know? We can't be swinging attention between answering it and the rules. I mean, what more...
You answer it by writing it down.
Oh, jeez.
This is how a quiz works. He's doing magic rules and rattling off percentages and stuff when it comes to a quiz. I ask you a question, you just write down the answer. He's like, how does it work again?
Paper with this pen? Yeah. Oh, what? Okay, thank God,
and we'll come back to it later.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing. He's more of a game show host kind of guy, aren't you, Rob? It's like, buzz in, that's the answer. Yeah,
That's cool. It. I'm ready. I'm ready for the answer now.
Yeah. Question 3. Magic the Gathering has published many expansions. What expansion number is Dragons of Tarkir?
Whoa.
I don't know. Let's just count it out. So we got it.
You've got Alpha.
You got Alpha, Beta, 4, Unlimited, Revised, Arabian Nights. 6.
I can think of at least like 10.
Mirage 12. Was one. Theros, Born of the Gods Journey. Yeah, no.
So it's more than 10.
Magic 2010, Magic 2011, Magic 2012, Magic 2013.
Lots and lots of expansions.
So how many a year roughly? How many years
Starter 1999. I'm going to hazard a guess.
Yep,
that's what's going to happen. All right. So we go back to the top. In Dragons of Tarkir, there are 16 reprints from earlier sets. How about we take it in
Do you think we should cross
turns?
Off ones that we both have?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like Boggle style.
Okay.
All right. Well, you start
you
with one.
You may need to check our answers because I could just be like, oh, yeah, Rob.
No, you just have to be honest about it. You start, okay. Aaron, and no cheating, Rob.
And are we saying what set that they're from?
No, do you want to do
that? No, we're not doing that.
No, we're not. Because I know all of them.
You know, I literally don't know. I'm the worst. I know, like, roughly what block, but I never know any sets.
All right, go.
Pacifism. Big one. Best one coming in the set.
Aaron,
been reprinted a
Aaron and
of
Rob
times.
Has that.
Yeah, we got Evolving Wilds.
Didn't get that one.
Oh,
one
yeah.
Point for Rob.
We did it.
Rob. Hang on, my pen's
there. Well, I've only got like three, so four. So,
okay, what do you got next, Aaron?
Dragon fodder from Shards of Valara.
You got that as well, Rob?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what else have you got?
And then Mind Rot is the other one.
Which is on the table. All right. Is that it, Rob?
That's literally all I got.
Here's all you got. What else have you got, Aaron?
Kindled Fury, also a reprint from Lorwyn originally.
Ooh, Kindled Fury, Morning Tide, like you said.
Morning Tide, sorry. Lorwyn Block, that's what I meant. Lorwyn Block.
Yeah, close.
All right, what else have you got?
Negate.
Negate, yeah.
Also in the set. First time it's been in standard for a while, actually.
Yeah, is that the ones... Negate... Ultimate Price.
Ultimate Price, I've got that as well.
Yeah, that's the one that I would have known.
Oh, yep. Yeah. From
Return of Ravnica.
I was actually playing that today as well.
Explosive Vegetations from a really old set.
Yeah, that's it. Narrow it
Nemesis
down.
Nemesis or Invasion or some shit?
Or Onslaught.
Onslaught, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Duress, back in the set with a big dragon face on it.
And that's from?
Every core set ever.
Yeah. First printed, though.
Duress was first printed
I've never even heard of this one.
The original one's got weird.
He's never heard of it. It's suddenly changed the answer.
I've never heard of Urza's Saga.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
You got any more?
My favorite one is the reprint that's exactly the same as in Khans of Tarkir, Summit Prowler.
Oh, it's
just got dragons in the background now.
Right.
Best reprint ever.
Yeah. More?
That's all I got.
Oh, come on. Oh, I thought you would have got Deathwind, first printed in Everson
Restored.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Haven't played with it yet. That's
then there was Battle Mastery, first printed in Lorwyn.
Oh, yep. Double Strike. Lots of reprints in this.
Yeah. Grave Purge from Dark Ascension.
Also from Dark Ascension.
Naturalize. First
printed. That's in every set.
Yeah, in Onslaught.
Yeah.
First printed, it said. Spider Silk Net was in Zendikar.
Oh, Zendikar. I was talking about that with Rob earlier as well.
Was talking about it,
And the other one that you guys missed was Tormenting Voice.
Which was also in Khans of Tarkir. Yeah.
This has a different picture now. The guy's like got green horns or something.
Yeah,
or
it's Ujin.
Oh, of course.
And he's being tormented by Nicol Bolas's voice.
So that was 9 for Aaron, taking him to 10. And 1, 2, 3, 4 for Rob.
Close.
Taking you to 4. Yeah, you're screwed now. There's no coming back from that.
Oh, tiebreakers.
Dragons, this next question is worth 1 point.
Good.
Fantastic. I got this. If he gets the last one, surely he should win. That is insane if you get it.
Dragons of Tarkir is 5 intro packs, Emerging Ranks, Enlightened Mastery, Cruel Plots, Relentless Rush, and Furious Forces. Which one's not an actual pack, Rob?
I'm going for Enlightened Master.
20% chance. You're going for Enlightened Mastery.
It's actually not one I had circled, and then I looked down and changed my thing second.
That's the way to...
Okay, I can logic through this now.
Yeah,
I think Enlightened Mastery could be the blue-white one. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Emerging Ranks could be the green-white one.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Cruel Plots, blue-black. Relentless...
I don't have the colours.
Relentless Rage?
Relentless Rush is...
Relentless Rush would be red-black.
Black-red, yeah.
And then Furious Forces would be red-green, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So which one sounds the most fake?
Yeah.
Furious Forces.
Furious Forces.
That was what I had circled.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I pointed to Emerging Ranks, and then I realized it made sense.
I think I'm pretty sure Emerging Ranks is green-white, yeah.
Well, you were both wrong, because there's no such set as Emerging Ranks. It's called Mast Ranks.
Oh, fuck.
And I think you're right. I think it was the green-white.
Yeah.
All right, so no points there. So finishing off question 3, Magic the Gathering has published many expansions. What expansion number is Dragons of Tarkir? Closest answer wins. What did you get?
56.
10 points, right?
No, it just gets a point.
71
for Aaron.
I got 56.
I'm going to have to do some. The answer is Aaron wins. 67th. Yes.
It's
the 67.
We're actually right in the middle. Wow. Yeah.
Jesus.
All right, you've nailed it, Aaron. You won 11-4.
That's close. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally, 1 point per answer.
Totally smashed it.
Yeah, that seems good. Yeah. That seems good.
Great.
All right. Oh, we're coming back with everyone's favorite set, which we haven't had for ages. Hot Garbage.
Hot garbage.
That's right, everyone. It's Hot Garbage. Aaron.
My Hot Garbage is I got beat by Clone Legion in the pre-release. The guy said it was good. It's bad. It costs 9 mana. It's garbage.
Hot Garbage. Rob.
Ice Full Region. I played it all day. Got dies to absolutely everything. Hot Garbage.
You've been listening to Hot Garbage.
Hot Garbage. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Hot garbage. Mitch and
Twos. I just love doing the Hot Garbage.
It's so good.
Hot garbage.
Cool.
Needs and Twos.
Needs and Twos.
Is and twos, what's happening in store, Aaron?
Well, we just had our big game day weekend. We've got an intense month of Magic going on. We've got, like, between the Dragons of Darkir release and all the pre-PTQs and GPTs coming up, we've got a massive Grand Prix, our biggest Perth contingent ever, about 40-plus players all going to Singapore. We're going to destroy some modern at the Grand Prix there. We've got Grand Prix trials for
gonna
every single month.
Going to rip Singapore a new one.
Metaphorically. Let's see. So we've got Grand Prix trials coming up for that. Format is modern next week, Saturday, at Good Games Cannington.
No, it's at Good Games Rockingham now in Cannington. Actually, it's still in Rockingham. Remains in Rockingham.
The Cannington one's coming up next month. My bad. Look at the Facebook page for more info.
We try to work out a date for... we're recording this on Saturday, the 18th of April.
So on the 25th, there's a Grand Prix trial modern format in Rockingham.
Brilliant. All right, Matt McHale's post-apocalyptic RPG Spectacular is coming. All of our names are in the pot. That's... All of our names.
Is my name in the pot?
Your name is in the pot. If you've liked
Rob's
Seven
name in the pot.
Ooh, the pot.
If you've liked Seven Land pot. Hand on Facebook, your name is in the pot. So all of our names are in the pot. And the recording of this event will be coming to a pod player near you. I believe he's actually played
iPod.
Yeah, he's Matt, I think Matt play tested it.
He did a trial yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, with the Famalelau. Famalelau jumped into it. Except for Xanthi didn't, because she's actually in the RPG team.
Oh, she's actually in the
So she
real
was
one.
Exempt from the playthrough.
I see. Yeah. They came in yesterday. I didn't know what they were doing. Matt came in. Told me what he was doing.
Yeah, he's mysterious ways. Mysterious ways. And then next fortnight, the board game team are back with Five Tribes. You might have seen us all crowd around a table trying to nut our way through the instructions. Wasn't too hard in the end. So listen to that podcast and get a discount deal at Good Games Cannington, now in Cannington, on the Strategic Days of Wonder Meeple Fest. That's what our description of
I
it is.
I did that sex move last week.
Yeah.
The Wonder Meeple Fest. Yeah, I've heard it's
the Strategic Days of Wonder Meeple Fest. It's a strategic bit more
I didn't have the strategy version That's probably why it wasn't so good for
it's
me.
It's like breakdancing. You can just jigsaw different moves into other moves.
Spin around and be back.
You can do all of that. All right, so please subscribe. Tell your friends. See if we can get the likes up again. If we get it to, 250, 300, something else weird might happen.
I'll give you
Matt to... That's right. You were going to cuddle people, I think.
What?
I've got that. No, it's here. It says, please subscribe and leave comment ratings, but perhaps 5 stars.
Perhaps.
And make contact with us. We love contact. And Aaron will cuddle you.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I will hug a random listener if we get 300 likes on Facebook.
Not everyone.
It's got to be every listener that comes in.
Some of the
everyone
ladies.
That comes up to the door.
We'll just have
I'm sure there's going to be mono ladies. Yeah.
Mono ladies I'm coming sure into Good Games Cannington.
I'm sure
Cannington.
That's who's listening right now. It's just
mono ladies.
Ladies at a slumber party.
That's the deck I'm playing in
at
Origins.
At a slumber party, man, going wild, listening to this podcast. I can see it. That's who's coming in.
Don't you wish that you could play Magic and just be like, I want to make a cool lady theme deck. And you just make all lady artwork.
This is genius. I was just, you start what Liliana would top it off.
Liliana, Anna Fenzer,
bit of Chandra.
She's pretty cool.
I'm thinking Origins because I can't get my mind off that.
Liliana,
card.
Sexy zombie lady.
Yeah,
you
strolling down the
catwalk
with the zombie hands coming up at us.
It was sexy though.
Real sexy. Weird zombie sexy.
Yeah. Who'd be the boss lady? Who'd be the chief one?
Chandra's
out of,
the best, obviously.
You think?
I think so.
Yeah.
I like Chandra.
Goggles on, goggles off. That's when the goggles come off.
That's when the goggles come on.
When you go in the
goggles
makeover,
go on.
It's goggles off and then hair out. Haven't you seen the movies? So she's got to lose the goggles,
hang on.
Take off the hair.
What movie?
Comb it out every movie that's
you know,
ever
like
been
every
made.
Movie where the nerdy girl
go,
takes off her
girl.
Glasses and shaves her hair out.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Glasses off, head out, and then that's
head
patch,
out.
Man.
Hot.
So yeah. Chandra loses
see,
glasses.
She's hot.
She's hot. Oh, yeah.
Smoking.
High five. Oh, it's been a while.
Oh, I definitely enjoyed that high five.
Looked forward to that. All right, let's blob. All right, that was it. That was the end of your Living with Dragons podcast, Seven Land Hand. Thank you, Aaron, for coming back.
Oh, no problem.
It's fantastic.
I like coming on.
Yeah, man.
It's good times.
You need to be back soon.
Yeah, okay.
Immediately.
I like talking with Rob as well.
Yeah. He knows things.
Yeah.
We don't have anyone
both
else.
Equally handsome.
Man, I didn't know too many things when it came to the quiz. That was my level of things I knew was
quiz. We'll run you through how a quiz works later on. It'll be fine.
Man, the writing down the thing is complicated. Come on, give me a break.
Okay, well, thanks for coming in, Rob.
Cheers.
I've gone through Grimbot, Grimsbly. I like
Grimblesby.
He's got a great last name just for putting B in
Grimblesby. Grimblesby. Be Grimsy. Yeah.
Where do you come from? I live in Grimblesby.
What's your name? Bubbly Bimblesby. That's good.
Oh, can we just call you Rob?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, Rob. Rob from Grimsy. Yeah, Rob Grimsy.
Oh, something I wanted to talk about today that I forgot to was this bringing magic lingo into real life. Like we just said, mono ladies coming in.
I do it.
Yeah. Right. One time I went into... I left a game store and I was like, oh, how come you're outside here, man? Like, did you win your game? He's like, dude, it's mono farts in there.
Mono farts.
That was the air.
My thing with that is like the magic lingo is I'll be talking to someone that's not a magic player and they're like, oh, I think about doing this, and I always be like, man, that seems like a really bad line. Like, and they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, you know, bad line.
Bad like,
play.
Line like, play.
What? And like, you have to just go, don't worry about it, man. I'm a huge
Even
nerd.
Stuff like
don't worry.
Seems good or like, oh, it just happens all the time. Also, not to mention like flicking business cards
all the time.
Credit cards when I'm holding a credit card and like a gift voucher, flicking them.
Look like. What's the difference between mono farts and multi farts? Which is worse?
Mono farts, because the hairs comprise of only farts and not farts.
Right.
And
it's so much fart that you can like eat that. Can't even distinguish between them. It's just one mono fart.
You're defining the atmosphere as just mono fart. Oh, okay. No, gotcha.
What was the atmosphere like at that party?
Mono fart.
Yeah, so you know me. If someone says that to you, like, you know that party was not good.
See ya.